this is totally not Danzig, and you're listening to the Shred Shack.
Hey, this is Chris Mack.
Welcome you to episode 211 of the Shred Shack Podcast, your premier source of news and uninformed yet heavily biased opinions pertaining to all things heavy metal, coming to you bi-weekly through practically any streaming service. I really feel like I should be following that up with something, but it used to have something after it, and I just dropped it. let's get started with Previously On.
So previously on, we did a free flow episode, but we are scripted today. We are scripted.
Today. Yes, we are the men with the plan. Doesn't rhyme, but I'll work with it. Yes. Yeah. So it looks like you have some old business.
Yeah. So we've been following the Mick Mars lawsuit against Motley Crue about how he was let go and like losing parts of his fucking, I guess, royalties or his shares in the Motley Crue company, et cetera, et cetera. The latest update is Mick Mars' lawyer has told Rolling Stone that the issue of whether the guitarist was illegally severed from Motley Crue is heading to private arbitration later this year. So it's not going to a trial. It's going to private arbitration.
Okay. So that means settling outside, presumably.
More than likely, yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully he gets his money if this is the case. So
get your money.
Yeah, but hopefully that's a thing that's done soon. We're getting tired of this one.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. All right. And so now, since that's the only bit of old business, let's go on to new business. And with new business, we talk about new album releases. What have you got?
All right. So I have a few from last week. Alluvial. I'm just going to give the band name, the title of the album, and thumbs up, thumbs down. Mm-hmm. So Alluvial, Death is But a Door. It's an EP from them, and that was a thumbs up. Esquila Grind, their EP is called
Metal.
Like literally it's spelled like that. That was a thumbs up. Exit Eden, Femme Fatale, that was a thumbs up. That one featured a pretty good cover of Separate Ways by Journey. Mm-hmm. And Poison from Alice Cooper. So that was pretty dope.
Nice.
No Terror in the Bang. No Terror in the Bang. That's the band name. And their album is called Heal, and that was a double thumbs up. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to murder this name. Their Japanese thrash metal band, I'm going to say Ryujin. Mm-hmm. It's their self-titled record. It's a double thumbs up. This one heavily features Matt Heffy from Trivium. He also produced the record, so he is very much involved with them. Extinction AD, which I believe is a Long Island band, our former hometown there. Their new EP, Ruthless Intent, was a thumbs up. And last but not least here, Infant Island with their new album, Obsidian Wreath, was a thumbs up.
Okay. I will have to listen to especially the one with the two covers on it. You mentioned Separate Ways and yeah, what was the other one again?
Reason. By Alice Cooper.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, I definitely want to hear that. I still haven't kept up with anything new. I was at the end of last year, and then I just lost it a bit. So I'm trying to also go through this personal queue I have at home. So, but I didn't listen to anything new. What else have you been listening to?
Pretty much the same old rotation. With like Sleep Token, Within Temptation, Tesseract, those new albums from 2023 that I really, really loved. I did some rabbit holes, which we'll get to when we get the rabbit hole section. And then Lo-Fi Reading, the instrumental playlist on Spotify when I read. So that's just actually it's actually a very cool playlist because it has like a bunch of just random, like, you know, original stuff, but then they also do like lo-fi instrumental cover version of like pop songs. So there's some Coldplay on there, there's some Metallica on there, there's some Nirvana, So again, it's just random pop songs or, you know, random popular songs that are instrumental lo-fi. It's pretty good.
All right. Right on. Right on. I've been listening to usual playlists. As well as I said, I have a queue of CDs. I've been going through a lot of the new CDs that I've gotten probably since my birthday. I haven't stocked away CDs since my birthday or so. And how do I know that? It's because the ones that you got for me are still waiting to be put away. So,
oh, the box set, yeah.
The box set and the Alice Cooper album. So...
Oh yes,
so,
yes.
So I'm working my way through that and everything else that I've gotten since then, and it's just been a slow process because I have to unplug something to put the CD player in to use it, and then later unplug it for something else. So it's a dumb process, but I will be continuing that for a little while. Anything else as far as what you have listened to?
No, just like I said, when I get back to the rabbit hole section, we'll talk about what I've been listening to for that. So,
okay. So let's go on to general news, and unfortunately start off with obituaries.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's the beginning of the year. Let's just start knocking off some people, I guess. But according to Metal Sludge, veteran rock drummer James Kotick, who is best known for his work with Scorpions and Kingdom Come, he passed away at the age of 61 years old. At the time that I was reading this, there was no cause of death. Mm-hmm. And then Tony Clarkin, who was the guitarist, mastermind, and main songwriter of the UK prog pomp AOR rock band Magnum, passed away at the age of 77. The news of his death comes just weeks after it was announced that he had been diagnosed with a rare and incurable spinal condition. As a result of his diagnosis, Magnum canceled its previously announced spring 2024 tour.
Well, that's both double rough, because I don't know if James Kotak was part of Scorpions anymore, so I don't know if he was an active member, but still played a great role in the band later on. And Magnum, I've always wanted to get into, so this may have to be that jumping off point.
Yeah, they're a name that I've heard around for a long, long time. So
yeah, so may have to happen.
All right, but that's it for obituaries. Fortunately enough, it's only the two.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to get some general news now. You ready for this?
General news.
All right, the Simmons drum set used by Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen for the band's Hysteria tour circa 1987 is being auctioned off via the largest online music marketplace, Reverb, dedicated to buying and selling new, used, and vintage musical instruments. I believe this is going to be the set that includes like his special pedals, maybe. For after he lost his arm.
If so, I would absolutely want that. I want to see what kind of magic that man has.
Right?
When it comes to drummers, like, I think it's all really good to watch and everything, but when someone like Rick Allen, like, drumming in the way that they do, it's so fascinating.
Sure. For sure. Speaking of drummers, Dream Theater drummer Mike Portnoy has revealed to Drumeo that he was supposed to drum with Nickelback in 2022.
Yeah.
In a newly released video portion of his recent interview with the leading online drum education platform, Portnoy said, quote, "I got a call from Nickelback in spring of 22. Their drummer, Daniel Adair, I guess, was having surgery, and they asked me to play a show with them. And I said, yeah, that'd be a fun gig. I was all set to play this gig with Nickelback. It was for a festival in Vancouver. And the festival ended up getting canceled. But I was this close to play a gig with Nickelback." So again, just to prove a point, Mike, I can play that Portnoy.
It's like, how do you top these things, man?
Right? Oh man! Again, he's just a hired gun at this point. Well, now he's permanently back in Dream Theater. He's back in his original gig. Yes. But he's still just like, my high school band needs a drummer. I can play that.
Yeah, I remember all those old songs. Yeah, I can remember an entire set list of songs in 5 minutes.
Right? What crazy.
Look at his machine.
He is a machine. All right, so that's general news. Let's head into the Expendables. So this is, this was a newer section that we had going in towards the end of last year, where we talked about people like leaving bands and taking steps away or being fired, et cetera, et cetera. So the Expendables. So speaking first off is Merciful Fate and their American bassist Joey Vera have mutually decided to part ways. I have a feeling it has to do with the fact that, oh my God, what the fuck band is he in? Armored Saint is getting busy again right now. So he's probably a little busy with Armored Saint. But just today, it was announced that Merciful Fate has recruited Becky Baldwin as his new bass player. The Birmingham, England-based musician previously toured with Merciful Fate in the fall of 2022 as a temporary replacement for Joey Vera, who was unable to make the dates due to a scheduling conflict with his longtime group, Armored Saint.
So I guess you're right, basically. The now the duties to Armored Saint outweigh the Merciful Fate ones in this case.
Yeah, and they just pretty much fully like made Becky a permanent member of the band as she was the fill-in for that period of time. So it worked out.
It works out.
All right. And last but not least here for the Expendables, Asking Alexandria's Ben Bruce has announced that he is stepping away from the band. Bruce formed Asking Alexandria in 2006 and has played on all the British band's 8 studio albums, including Asking Alexandria's latest full-length release, which was 2023's Where Do We Go From Here? A new Asking Alexandria EP, Dark Void, arrived earlier this month. In a message posted on Instagram earlier today, Friday, January 19th, the guitarist thanked the Asking Alexandria fans for their years of love and support before explaining that it's time to dedicate my life to my family. On top of family medical situations, leaving my children means missing out on too many important moments in their lives.
I mean, it's fair.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to be even a big Asking Alexandria fan, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is just news. Just news.
Yeah, just good stuff.
So that's it for the Expendables. Let's get on to So Let It Be Written.
Mm-hmm.
So Insight Editions has set a May 7th, 2024 release date for Silver Surfers, the final book from late Rush drummer Neil Peart. Peart shares one last love letter to his beloved classic car collection and gives readers a glimpse of his lifelong passion for cars and his extraordinary collection.
I'm just thinking of I'm in Love with My Car by Queen.
The running bit in the movie. About how much do you love your car? Hilarious shit. So he's the one that called out a field not so good. We're good on that one. No one's getting any better. Fortunately enough, no one's breaking the law at the moment. But we can't talk about the good that men and women do. All right. So Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the multi-platinum rock group renowned for its dazzling holiday concert spectacles, brought music and magic to more than just audiences. They spread holiday cheer with a total of $1 million in donations to local charities across the country during their recently concluded The Ghost of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO and More winter tour. Keeping with TSO's late founder Paul O'Neill's vision to spread holiday joy and support to communities in need, TSO remains one of rock and roll's most charitable bands. For every ticket sold at their 104 performances in 62 cities, TSO committed at least $1 to support local organizations working to bring hope and help to their communities. This long-standing tradition has seen the group donate nearly $19 million since its touring debut, directly impacting countless lives.
Damn, I did not know that.
Neither did I. That was something very, very cool to learn.
Like, and it's great that it continues to be so popular because it just continues to make that additional money.
Oh yeah, it gets bigger every year too. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, when you're performing two shows a day and two different touring groups across the country, that's wild.
Yeah,
so it's brilliant. Good on them. Good on them. Yeah.
Wish sure. I had thought of it.
All right, so that pretty much wraps us up for general news. Metallica has been a little quiet right now. No one's feuding just yet. No one's making any more alcohol or beer or coffee, and merchandising hasn't come up with much of anything recently. So we can head on straight into recording news if you wish.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So first off, this is something I've been fucking talking about for a very long time. Down is continuing work on the songwriting process for a new release. The long-running heavy metal supergroup hasn't issued anything since the arrival of the Down 4 Part 2 EP in May of 2014. Yeah. So here we go. Here we go. They were supposed to do a 4-part EP series for Down 4. We might finally get Part 3.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Finally.
So, excited. Speaking of excited, former Killswitch Engage singer Howard Jones has completed recording his vocals for his collaborative new project with Killswitch Engage guitarist Adam D.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe Killswitch Engage is also recording a new record at the same time. So Adam D is a busy dude.
Yeah.
All right. X-Horder will release their fourth full-length album, Defectum Omnium, on March 8th via Nuclear Blast Records.
Nice.
Whom Gods Destroy, the formidable group formed by keyboardist Derek Sherinian, who of course was in Dream Theater, Sons of Apollo, Black Country Communion, guitarist Ron Bubblefoot Thal, who was in Guns N' Roses, Sons of Apollo, and vocalist Dino Jelusic, who is in Whitesnake Trans-Siberian Orchestra, along with the potent rhythm section of bassist Yas Numura and drummer Bruno Valverde. They have announced their debut album, Insanium, to be released on March 15th, 2024, worldwide via Inside Out Music.
That's what we need. Another supergroup. That's cool.
Another supergroup featuring Bumblefoot.
Yeah. Or Derek Sherinian. Yeah, he's in a bunch.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they just need a Mike Portnoy in there or something like that. let's see. Five Finger Death Punch has announced the digital deluxe edition of Afterlife, the band's critically acclaimed ninth studio album. Set for digital release on February 9th via Better Noise Music, the deluxe version will include the original 12 tracks recorded with the band's longtime collaborator and producer, Kevin Churko, in addition to 4 bonus tracks, 3 acoustic versions of the album's songs The End, Judgment Day, and Thanks for Asking, plus a new song, This Is the Way, featuring the late rapper DMX.
Oh. Yeah, that's crazy.
X gonna give it to you.
Apparently.
Yeah, X gonna give it to you. From the grave. the Black Crowes released their new album, Happiness Bastards, on March 15th. The band's first full-length LP of new material in 15 years will be released via the Black Crowes' own label, Silver Arrow Records.
Okay, that's cool, but I have to go back one story and say that I'm just imagining a gravesite that's barking.
Hilarious. That's great. Let's see, where are we at? All right. Two members of the pioneering progressive metal act Faint's Warning, singer Ray Alder and guitarist Jim Matheos, there you go. They continue to brave new waters is with North Sea Echoes. The duo is proud to announce the release of their debut album, Really Good Terrible Things, due out February 23rd, 2024 via Metal Blade Records.
That is a really funny name, I gotta say.
Yeah, Really Good Terrible Things. No Good, Really Bad Terrible Day.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, buddy. Blaze Bailey will release his new solo album, Circle of Stone, on February 23rd.
Guess who already pre-ordered that shit? This guy.
I figured as much. Look for Billy Morrison to release the Morrison Project, his third studio album and first since 2015 on April 19th via the label group Virgin Music Group. The British guitarist, singer, and songwriter, primarily known as Billy Idol's rhythm guitar player for the last 15 years, alongside lead guitarist Steve Stevenson's, and for his previous role as bassist in The Cult. He has assembled an electrifying 12 songs, including guest performances by Ozzy Osbourne, Billy Idol, DMC, Al Jorgensen, Steve Vai, Steve Stevens, Linda Perry, Tommy Kluftos, John Five, and more. Hell yeah. That sounds like a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah, I can. The guest list alone is kind of drawing me in. I mean, be on one album with Ozzy, Billy Idol, DMC, and Al Jorgensen. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Not saying the rest don't match him up.
G.O.D. will release its 11th album, Veritas, on May 3rd via Mascot Records.
That is actually exciting.
Is it now? I haven't listened to P.O.D. in fucking probably 25 years.
The last things that I heard from P.O.D. I enjoyed.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Casualties of Cool, the collaboration between Devin Townsend and Shay Amy Dorval, is working on their sophomore effort. Casualties of Cool released their debut self-titled album in 2014, and now all these years later is planning to bringing us some more ambient country rock, which is awesome, because that album was really cool. Fucking her solo album last year was really dope. So yeah, that's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
No live shit and no reissues, so we are done with recording news.
All right. So then let's go on to a little extra. And a little extra starts off with crowdfunding tracker.
I have one. So a new GoFundMe campaign has been launched for Michelle Johnson, who is wife of In This Moment bassist Travis Johnson. She was diagnosed with aggressive breast cancer 6 years ago. On Friday, January 12th, guitarist Chris Holworth shared a link to the GoFundMe page on his social media, and he included the following message. It's hard to find the words for this. As many of you know, Michelle, our friend, sister, and beloved wife of Travis Johnson, has been battling cancer for a number of years, and it breaks our hearts to say her fight is coming to an end. Please click the link in my bio to read more, and please consider donating anything you can to help alleviate some of the increasing financial stress. So it seems like she's in, like, hospice. So their goal right now is $75,000, and they have raised $48,435 so far. So a little over half. Looking pretty good. Solid numbers. So good on them.
Good. Okay. How long ago did it start? You said.
It doesn't seem to be one of those. Created January 10th, so it's been up for about 9 days.
Okay, and that's a good amount in 9 days.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
and the thing is, this is one of those things where, like, you know, there's no goal. Like, there's a goal, but there's, like, nothing. Like, whatever money that you guys can give can help. You know, so it is like it's not going towards like an album or anything like that. If it fails, it fails. Like, this is like, no, every little bit helps on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Did we have any other crowdfunding tracker?
That's it for today.
Okay, so let's talk about Should I Want? And what do you want?
Well, still want a new set of headphones. I haven't gotten that yet. And the main reason is because I spent a bunch of money and I bought a whole shit ton of new bookcases from IKEA. They're supposed to be arriving tomorrow. So what I really want right now is for that delivery to come to go through to go smoothly. I want everything to show up relatively early, so I can start building shit and try and get most of it done this weekend if I possibly can. So yeah, that's what I want. I want my fucking bookcases so I can reorganize our library and get all our books off the fucking floor.
What do I want? I don't think I have anything big in particular that I want at this point, because I think that, now that Christmas has passed by, I'm pretty content at this moment. But, there's always those little things that come up. I'm an impulsive person, and of course, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to buy anything today. And then I see something, I'm like, I'm going to buy that today. So
Agreed.
like today's thing was I was like, I'm not gonna buy anything today. And then I see Tom's band Rise From Your Grave released their first t-shirt today, so I'm like, I'll buy that. So I find those reasons. But really, otherwise, I got nothing right now, so.
Gotcha.
How about
All
down the
right.
rabbit hole?
All right, so I did a little bit. I did a little bit like specific rabbit hole type of things. So I don't know what brought me to it, but I started listening to Count again. I remember the band I've been talking about for probably feels like 20 years, but it's probably only been like five. But KAUAAN, they're Serbian Russian band. They who sing in Finnish, but I don't know what brought me back to them, but I just started listening to them. I listened to like four or five of their albums in a row. Just couldn't help myself because I just loved it so much. They're just so great. Then I was reading, there was like an article, I think it was on Loudwire or one of the, or maybe Metal Sucks. It was like 20 albums or albums, a list of albums that were like 20 years ahead of their time. And one of the albums was From Mars to Sirius by Gojira. So I went on a Gojira kick. So I listened to Mars to Sirius, From Mars to Sirius. I listened to Fortitude. I listened to Magma, and I probably even threw a L'Enfant Sauvage in there too. I just couldn't get enough of Gojira for like 3 days. And the last but not least here for Rabbit Hole is the Prog Mind, which is I guess a music blog that I found on Facebook. But they released their I think it's one guy runs the whole thing, but he released his top 40 albums of 2023. So I made a playlist on Spotify of all those albums, and I've been trying to get through them. The unfortunate thing is that none of the albums are really grabbing me as much as the albums from 2022 did. But I'm pretty low on the list. I'm going from 40 up to one. So I'm sure as I get into the later stuff, the in the higher in the list, I'll probably find something that I really like. Of course, Sleep Token was on it. I've already, balls deep on the Sleep Token train. So can't really, get any more into them than I already am. So we'll see what happens when I get to get later longer into the list. So
My rabbit hole is been working with trying to get more clients and going down the different ways I can do that. So it's been more so with that.
gotcha,
Nothing
yeah.
really, musically related or anything like that. The closest thing as far as a rabbit hole was us watching the second season of Broadchurch. So
Nice.
yeah, which was really good. So yeah, let's see. I forget what comes next. Little Light Reading.
Little Light Reading.
I so let's just rename this Chris's Hour.
I know. I mean, I let's listen. I since we recorded the last podcast, I finished three books. So I think the last time we were talking, I had just finished or was in the middle of the Bill Hodges trilogy, which is a Stephen King trilogy featuring the former police officer Bill Hodges, which introduces the ha character of Holly Gibney. And this is part of my whole Hollyverse journey. So I think I was either finishing or I had finished Finders Keepers, which is the second book of the trilogy. So I read the third book of the trilogy, End of Watch, which I found to be very good. I thought he ended the trilogy very well. I was very happy with how that ended. And it really, actually, I finished fucking 4 books since we recorded last. Because after the end of Watch, I went and reread The Outsider. The Outsider was my first introduction to Holly Gibney. Again, it was out of order, so I didn't really understand a lot of stuff that they were talking about with her character in the book. So after reading the Bill Hodges trilogy, which introduces her, and then rereading The Outsider, it was much, much better just to have the context of her character, which was outstanding. Next up, I read If It Bleeds, which is a collection of short stories. One of those short stories is called If It Bleeds, which features Holly. I thought that story was very good. The other 3 stories were pretty good. Like, one of them was Mr. Harrigan's Phone, which is also a movie on Netflix, featuring one of the kids from the movie It, and Donald Sutherland as an old man, which is, you know, pretty much how he rolls. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. Holly, her own standalone novel, the one that came out last year, 2023. What a book. Fucking outstanding story. Her character is fantastic. His writing is so good. The story was great. The villains were awesome. It was just a good, good fucking book. I was excited to read that. I really hope that Stephen King continues to write stories featuring this character, because she is just so fucking great. I love her so much. And after I finished that, I just dove into Death's End, which is outside of Stephen King, outside of the Hollyverse. It is part of the Three Body Problem trilogy. It's the 3rd book in the Three Body Problem trilogy, the longest and the thickest. I'm really excited to get into it. I'm about 150 pages into it right now, and I'm already all in. I love it so much already. I think the story is great. The guy is very imaginative in what's going on. It can be a little like on the hard sci-fi side with some really technical stuff with physics and stuff like that, but like once you get past that and you actually just focus on what some of the characters are actually doing and what's going on, it's a very enjoyable story so far, and I really cannot wait to see how he closes out the trilogy.
Very nice. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
For your viewing pleasure.
All right, well, so I don't know if you ever watched True Detective on HBO.
No.
No? All right. Well, I watched the first 2 seasons. The first season was amazing. Like, when people talk about the show True Detective, they are probably more than likely talking about the first season. Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, killer story, amazing acting and episodes and, like, a story arc, crazy shit. The second season, not that great. Vince Vaughn was in that one. Colin Farrell, Amy Adams. It was okay, not great. I never saw the 3rd season, but the 4th season came out recently. It's been a while since seasons have came out. This one is called True Detective North Country. It takes place in Alaska. A group of scientists have gone missing. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Jodie Foster is the lead detective. Which is exciting because I love Jodie Foster. It seems to be like a very interesting show. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. It's only 6 episodes, so they have a lot to do in 6 episodes. So we'll see how that runs. So we're just doing that. And Brandon and I have decided to take the plunge and start watching Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Specifically, we started with the revival, the 2005 revival of Chris Eccleston. As the, like, what was it, the 9th Doctor or something like that?
Or that the 8th Doctor.
So we're about 12 episodes into his one and only season. The main reason we wanted to watch it is because we love David Tennant. We really love Staged. We love Broadchurch. And we jumped right into the second season of the revival with David Tennant. And we were just like, all right, we're already missing too much stuff. This is a continuing story. We need to go back and watch the first season first. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's cheesy. It's campy. Like, the first 3 or 4 episodes, I was like, all right, this is okay. This is not great. But then, like, the Dalek episode happened, and I was like, all right, we're all in. We're good. This is okay. I'm down. I really do enjoy Chris Eccleston as the Doctor. I think he's great because like the only thing I've ever seen him in is like Gone in 60 Seconds and Thor: The Dark World. So I'm used to him being like a bad guy, but him being like a goofy fucking alien is pretty refreshing. You know, and everything is so 2005. Like, oh my God, the outfits are ridiculous. It's insane. Oh my God, I love it so much. But it's been fun. It's something that like we can have on when we have the kids and not have to worry about, you know, changing the channel or whatever the fuck. We can just watch it, and I'm having a good time with it. It's super cheesy, it's super nerdy, and I fucking love it. So I'm glad that I started it. I'm glad that it's all available on HBO Max. It's pretty awesome.
I don't watch it regularly, but every time I see an episode, I enjoy it. So,
hell yeah,
yeah. If there were a show that I should get much more into, it is that. So, but yeah. As far as otherwise, I already mentioned Broadchurch, so I haven't watched very much else otherwise.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I got very little right now. So, let's carry on and
carry right on, huh?
Yeah, we're just gonna carry right on, and I think we'll take a break here, and then we'll carry on to the rest. So here's a commercial break.
Greetings, Metalheads. Dan Mack here, and if you're a fan of putting a little heat on your meal, spice up your life with one of the many hot sauce flavors available from our sponsors at Hella Hot Hot Sauce. All natural, no preservative, and California-made, Hella Hot Hot Sauce provides small-batch artisan hot sauces made from fruit and pepper blends that emphasize aroma, taste, and of course, heat. With several flavors available, some seasonal, others year-round, and collaborations with members of Ghoul, Exhumed, Guar, and Hatebreed, there are plenty of options to suit your palate. Head over to hellahothotsauce.com and buy up a couple bottles now.
And we're back. Right. And we're moving on to concert news. Take it away.
All right. So we got a festival news, a little bit of festival news here. Nothing about like lineups or anything like that. But I Am Morbid, the band featuring former Morbid Angel members David Vincent on bass and vocals and Pedro Pete Sandoval on drums, along with guitarist Richie Brown from Ex Mortis, The Absence and Trivium, and Bill Hudson of North Tail and Doro, will perform Morbid Angel's classic debut album, Altars of Madness, in its entirety at this year's Milwaukee Metal Fest on Sunday, May 19th.
All right. That sounds pretty boss.
Yep. All right. We got a lot of concert news coming up. Let's go through some touring news here, just regular touring here. Code Orange canceled its previously announced headlining tour along with other shows due to serious health issues suffered by guitarist Dominic Landolina. Code Orange's run of shows was scheduled to kick off on the Shiprocked cruise in early February and was slated to wrap up in March in the Philippines at the Pulp Summer Slam Festival. Bummer for Code Orange.
Yeah. But there's a festival in the Philippines?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. As 2024 gets underway and with the excitement around the upcoming February run of the Machine Killer Tour, Static X and Seven Dust have announced another leg of the popular touring package that will also feature rockers Dope and Lions of Loyalty to take place in April and May.
Guess where they're not coming.
Yeah, I saw that, fuckers. Clutch have announced the World Samurai Tour 2024, the Trek, which will feature support from Blacktop Mojo and the Native Howl, will kick off on April 26th in Richmond, Virginia, and conclude on May 18th in Belvidere, Illinois.
I mean, that sounds like a win, but I'm pretty sure they're not coming close to us.
I did not see a date for us.
Yeah.
Asking Alexandria have announced their return to the U.S. this spring on the headlining All My Friends tour in support of their critically acclaimed new album, Where Do We Go From Here? The 27-date jaunt will stretch from April 12th in San Antonio, Texas to May 18th in Tempe, Arizona, and include a handful of stops at radio festivals along the way. Support will be provided from special guests Memphis May Fire and The World Alive. with opening act Nerve. I did not, they're playing April 12th here in San Antonio. I did not see the venue though.
Okay. It's probably the, like the Rock Box or whatever they call it now.
Yeah, for sure. Hell, Fire, and Chaos, the best of British rock and metal, is the name of the upcoming United States tour by two British legends in the rock and metal genre, Uriah Heep and Saxon. San Antonio date, May 30th at the Tobin Center.
I'd see that.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Stryper will embark on To Hell with the Amps, the Unplugged Tour, in late May. For the first time ever, the Christian rockers will perform their hits and fan favorites acoustically.
Interesting. I just don't know any Stryper songs to really really say if that's good or not.
Yeah, for sure. Ace Frehley has announced a run of U.S. tour dates for the first half of 2024. The former Kiss guitarist will play three shows at the end of the month in Kentucky and Indiana before taking part in the Monster of Rock cruise in early March. The end of March and early April will see Frehley play five East Coast shows to be followed by an Illinois concert in June.
I don't think it's coming anywhere near here, of course. I don't know if I would see Frehley solo. I mean, I'm not interested.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No.
Camelot. No, sorry. Scott Stapp has announced the first leg of the
big difference
of the Higher Power Tour, a run of intimate theater dates to celebrate the release of his fourth solo album, Higher Power. The shows will take place a month before Creed reunites for the first time in over a decade.
That sounds pretty cool. I kind of want to see Creed.
I mean, they're playing the AT&T Center. I mean, the last time I saw them, or we saw them, might have been, what, Madison Square Garden? So it's a pretty big show.
Yeah.
Camelot, for real this time. They continue to celebrate their latest top charting. That's weird. No, it's chart topping, right? Whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever. Their full-length album, The Awakening, in grandiose style. The band is thrilled to announce the North American Waken the World Tour 2024, featuring direct support from Swedish heavy metal frontrunners Hammerfall. Fast rising modern symphonic metal band and Napalm Records label mates Adfinitum will kick off each enchanting night, featuring Camelot touring guest vocalist Melissa Bonney. The tour will begin on April 25th in Baltimore, Maryland, and will cross North America back coming to an end later in Tampa, Florida on May 25th. There is a San Antonio date, May 7th at the Vibes Event Center.
I really want to see that.
That sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
Between the Buried and Me have announced a tour that will find them playing two shows in each city, with night one featuring a performance of their acclaimed 2007 album Colors, and night two featuring a performance of the 2021 follow-up effort, Colors 2. Direct support on the Colors experience will come from the Acacia Strain, which will perform 2023's Step Into the Light on night one, along with select tracks from 2004's 3750 and 2014's Coma Witch. While night two will see the group perform 2023's Failure Will Follow, along with 3750 track Car Bomb. Oh, okay. Along with the 3750 track Car Bomb. San Antonio dates March 31st and April 1st at Vibes.
Wow. They're trying to pull a Metallica.
A little bit, yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, much smaller scale, of course, but definitely pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Rush will celebrate its 30th anniversary with an extensive North American headline tour. The Loaded, the Greatest Hits Tour, will kick off on July 26th in Bend, Oregon, and include shows at PNC Bank's Art Center in Holmdel, New Jersey, and the Greek Theater in Los Angeles, California. Most of the dates will be produced by Live Nation. Jerry Cantrell and Candlebox will be special guests on all dates. Additional guests will be announced. San Antonio date, September 4th at the Freeman Coliseum.
I am there.
Nice. Here's one I fucking would love to see, but it happens to be like the Austin show is like a Friday, when I have the boys. But Sleep Token has announced a spring 2024 headline North America tour. These dates are in addition to the Red Rocks Amphitheater and Radio City Music Hall dates, which were announced at the end of 2023 and sold out immediately. Empire State Bastard will also appear. I want to fucking see Sleep Token so bad.
I still have to listen to them. I'm way behind.
They're not for everybody. They're not for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a love-hate thing with them.
Yeah, they're not for everybody. They're one of those bands that became insanely popular, and metalheads immediately like, nope, they suck. Rah, 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 rah.
So the new Ghost.
Pretty much, especially because they have the shtick going on where like everyone's anonymous. They're like the lead singer is called Vessel. All the guys are like, you know, their numbers and stuff like that. No one knows who they are, except I think recently someone found out who I think like the bassist was and posted his birth certificate on fucking social media or some shit like that, just kind of ruining it all for us.
Of course.
So whatever, doesn't matter for me. I love them. I think they're great. I can't get enough of them, and I would love to see them live. They look like a fucking spectacular show.
Nice.
That's it for touring news, but we do have one-off. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Korn have announced that they will return to London to perform for the first time in 7 years with their biggest UK headline show to date at Gunnersbury Park on Sunday, August 11th. Joining them for the Mammoth Outdoor event are special guests Denzel Curry, Spirit Box, Wargasm, and Loathe.
All right. I mean, I don't know very many of those.
That is it for concert news, my friend.
Yeah. All right. So I don't think we've seen a show. I think I'm going to hopefully get back to seeing shows this year, but I know for sure, of course, Iron Maiden, and I definitely want to go see Blind Guardian. So, yeah, so that will hopefully be in the future, but otherwise I don't think we've got much coming up for now. Sure. So, yeah, so let's go on to heavy metal in the charts, and it should be about that time where Christmas is finally going away.
Well, Christmas has gone away. Just between the podcast, I actually did like scroll through the charts last week. It was dominated by Taylor Swift, of course. But just a quick note was number 200, Mr. Irrelevant last week was Metallica's Black Album.
Holy very interesting. Shit. Talk yeah. about irrelevant.
Right? Like, whoa. But there was a lot of re-entries in the weeks following Christmas and stuff like that. So this looks like it's gonna be a pretty clean week. So let's get right into it. Of course, you know, heavy metal being what it is, not gonna be very popular in the Billboard Top 200, which covers everything. So Dan and I like to talk about Taylor Swift, and this is our Taylor Swift era. And we're going to keep on going with it. Dan also likes to know who the top five and who number 200 Mr. Irrelevant is. So with that in mind, Dan, are you ready for this?
Always.
All right, let's go. Number one, One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen.
God damn it.
At number two, For All the Dogs by Drake.
Okay.
At number three is Miss Taylor Swift, 1989, Taylor's Version. That's her first album in the top charts. Number four is Pink Friday 2 by Nicki Minaj.
Not surprised.
And number five is Stick Season by Noah Kahan. I got nothing on that one. All right. Well, pay attention because here we go. We're going to get started here. At number seven is Midnights by Miss Taylor Swift. At number eight is Lover by Miss Taylor Swift. At number 10 is Folklore by Miss Taylor Swift. That's four albums in the top 10 of the top 200. There you go. All right. Now we're going to keep on moving.
Okay.
At number 19 is Reputation by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her fifth record in the top 200. And then followed up by 21, Speak Now, Taylor's Version. Followed up by 22, Evermore, Miss Taylor Swift. Followed up by number 24, Red, Taylor's Version. We are up to eight albums.
All right. Top
25. Eight albums in the top 25. Here we go. And now I do a little bit more scrolling here. Not much, though. All right, number 37, we got Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. At number 39, we got Diamonds by Elton John. At number 44 is Fearless, Taylor's version. That's her ninth record in the top 50 of the top 200.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we get rolling. Queen's Greatest Hits, number 49. Number 49, Queen's Greatest Hits. Creedence, Clearwater Revival, the 20 Greatest Hits, is at number 54. 1989, the original version by Miss Taylor Swift, is at number 57. That's 10 albums in the top 60 of the top 200. 10 albums for Miss Taylor Swift. Probably her last one, I would assume, on this one. Okay, here we go. Now we do a lot more heavy scrolling here. Very Best of Nickelback, Volume 1, is at number 79. Nevermind by Nirvana is number 85. Tom Petty, Heartbreaker's Greatest Hits, at number 90. Journey's Greatest Hits, at number 99. The Beatles, 1962 to 1966, 101. Legend, Best of Bob Marley and the Wailers, at number 102. Okay. Foo Fighters' Greatest Hits, number 113. Elvis' Greatest 30 Number 1 Hits is number 118. Greatest Hits by Guns N' Roses is number 126. Pitbull has a Greatest Hits collection. Now, I don't know if you knew that. Thriller by Michael Jackson, number 132. Beatles, 1967 to 1970, at number 138. Seems like they broke up from Beatles 1. They got their Greatest Hits on two different records here.
Of course. It's a way to sell two records.
For sure. Greatest Hits by Aerosmith at number 141. Eagles Greatest Hits. Eagles Greatest Hits number 154. Lunar Skinner Greatest Hits number 155. Paramore, self-titled, is a re-entry on number 162. Hybrid Theory, Linkin Park, number 163. Greatest Hits of Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band at 165. Blink-182, Greatest Hits at number 173. Fleetwood Mac, Greatest Hits, 177. Linkin Park, Meteora, at number 181. Billy Joel, the essential Billy Joel, re-entry at number 188. And then at 189 is Metallica, Black Album, no longer Mr. Irrelevant.
There you go.
The Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes soundtrack, which is actually quite good, is at number 190. Okay. Greatest Hits of Bon Jovi is at number 196. And at number 200, Mr. Irrelevant is a re-entry. Birds in the Trap Sing McKnight by Travis Scott.
Whatever. Okay, so back to fairly normal. Taylor Swift on high, you know, kind of looking at anybody who wants towards the top and just going like, just fall down, just lay down. Army of Swifties around them like ants. Right. All right, so for now, we're going to move on to our discussion, which I have our book ready for today. Now, long, long time ago, probably 6 to 8 months ago at this point, doesn't feel like that long, but we started reading this book of the top 500 heavy metal albums of all time, written by Martin Popoff. Not necessarily the list was written by him, but it was a survey basically of other musicians and things like that. And we got through 75 and we're on number 425 now. Are you ready for this?
Well, let's do it. Here we go.
All right. So number 425 is The Theater of Pain by Motley Crue. This is the album with Home Sweet Home.
Okay.
Roses
on it.
exactly. Smoking in the Boys Room cover.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
Like the as a song itself, I'm not a fan of Home Sweet Home. I've liked where I've seen it used, and by that I mean it was used perfectly in Peacemaker, and it was used perfectly in Hot Tub Time Machine. But
yes,
the song itself, just I don't care for. So, the rest of the album, I have only listened to so many times over the years, so I have little to say about this. I'm hoping, of course, this means that a different Motley Crue album is much higher. So, and I will still say that the number one album for Motley Crue should be the 1994 album, but that's a hill that a few of us will actually die on. So, number 424 is Angra with the Holy Land.
I don't know enough about them.
I love the album I have from them. I just haven't ventured out far enough yet. So I'm way behind. And as a reminder to folks, this is also a book from 2004. So the last 20 years of music is not included. So, but Angra is not a band I'm familiar enough with, but I know that they are power metal, and that is, you know, that is my 16 to 25 year old bread and butter. So, well, this one's going to be a little bit for you to talk about. Number 423 is Tool, Lateralis.
See, I love that record. Actually, I just like all Tool records, but that was the one that came off their Anima, and that was like people were hyped on this. I mean, when Schism came out, that was like the second coming of Christ, for Christ's sake, for fucking Tool fans. The thing is, like, this is also where they found like their formula of what their sound should be, and they kind of stuck with that for pretty much like up until now. You know, 10,000 Days are very similar in sound and style, and so was Fear Inoculum. Not that it's bad. Again, they found a formula that works for them, and I particularly love it. But I'm glad it's on the list. It should be on the list. It's probably right exactly where it needs to be on the list.
Here's a strange one, and I never thought of this band as metal. So, number 422 is Monster Magnet with Power Trip.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
We've come across a couple of other bands here that we like may not have considered metal, right?
True. Am I right in saying that? But I've never heard someone say Monster Magnet, a metal band. Like, nowhere or anything like that's even remotely close to that. I've never heard them referred to as metal. Or anything remotely close. But I guess I'm missing a whole lot, so I guess I'll have to take a listen to that someday. I think Sean's a big fan of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one that you've probably got a few things to say. Number 421 is Life of Agony, River Runs Red.
Oh, that fucking record should be much, much, much higher on this list. I don't, whatever. That is so good. Such a great record. I love the concept of it. I love that it's like their debut. Like, they came out fucking swinging and they fucking knocked it out of the park right off the fucking bat. Fucking Mina's vocals in it are so good. The band is fucking tight. It's heavy. Oh, what a record. Yeah, it should be much higher. Much higher.
Okay. Yeah, I have listened to it only once, so I have not yet gotten into it, but I do have it, so I have to get on that.
Yeah, it's one of those records that every time I go back to visit it, it's like, oh yeah.
Here's a bit of a classic thrash that is actually the first album I heard from them. Creator, Coma of Souls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know enough about them.
They are fantastic German thrash. They're so good. And this was like this was like their early breakout, if you can call it that. It's like the one that if you said like what would you consider a classic creator album, people would point to that one.
Would it be like the introduction, like the one like, oh, I want to know the creator. Is this where you start?
Yeah, it's like I'm sure to people it's like the master of puppets of creator.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, not saying that they've changed their sounds in any way, because they still sound fucking harsh. So, I don't know anything about this one. So, number 419 is Faster Pussycat, self-titled. Don't know shit.
I don't know anything about those guys, actually. I mean, they're a name that's been around for fucking ever, but just, I think in general, they never appealed to me.
I think they were around for glam.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, next one appeals to me, but I just haven't gotten through the catalog yet. 418 is a Stradivarius episode.
Okay, Stradivarius. I mean, I don't know enough about them, but I know that there's some badass like power metal, and yeah, that's definitely something that you need to get on.
I think we've talked about this band before because they've appeared on this list before, I think. But 417 is Exciter with Violence and Force.
That's another band that I have not gotten that much into, but I've heard of for so long.
Yeah, we've kept saying that. That's a lot of work to do.
At the beginning of this list, I was trying to keep track of like bands I haven't listened to, and that it immediately became overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. So, but at least you know the next one. 416 is Children of Bodom with Hate Breeder.
They're just a really great fucking band. Like, it's a shame that Alexi died. That the band was kind of like it was just him towards the end, because I think the rest of the band had kind of like called it quits with him. Mm-hmm. But man, they were something special.
Yeah,
they were something special.
Yeah. 415, The Great Radio Controversy by Tesla.
I don't know enough about Tesla, but like the thing I learned about some of these rock bands. From like the 80s and stuff like that, especially when that metal show was on TV with Eddie Trunk and those guys, is that these guys like they may have become famous for like some of like their softer stuff, but then the band themselves, like the other songs on the albums that were not popular, were just fucking just grimy and fucking heavy and fucking awesome.
Yeah,
specifically I'm thinking of like Extreme, you know. But I think Tesla was one of those bands too that has some just good fucking old fashioned hard rock shit going on, but they became famous for something that was not fucking like that.
Yeah. I think with Tesla in particular, a lot of their popularity came with an acoustic cover of a song, and then they became a bigger deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, now we can talk about number 414, which is Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1.
Okay. I
feel is the superior of the two, but I have to give it more time to think that over.
I would have to give it more time to think that over, but I'd have to bring them out. Oh, man. Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me grab these things.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to disagree. I think The Use Your Illusion 2 is a superior album. For Civil War, Estranged, Knock on Heaven's Door, and Don't Cry, this version of Don't Cry. And You Could Be Mine, for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's not even fair. Well,
I mean, Use Your Illusion 1 has November Rain. The other ones, I'm like, Garden of Eden is a great song. You know, stuff like that, but dude, you open up with Civil War, your fucking fourth song is Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah, just opening with Civil War, not fair.
Like, if Use Your Illusion 1 is down here in the 400s, Use Your Illusion 2 has to be significantly higher.
Mm. Okay. Well, let's find out. Well, it's not specifically next, because number 413 is UFO with Thorson.
The only thing I know of UFO is Dr. Doctor.
Yeah. And it seems like they are a 70s rock band that just had a lot of good catchy songs. And Dr. Doctor is the one that caught somebody's ear. So I don't know enough about UFO. So what I do know is that number 412, Motorhead's Bomber, is indeed a good album.
I mean, Motorhead has so many albums. Like, are they all going to be on this? That takes up like a quarter of a list.
So, seriously. well, I'm sure Ace of Spades itself will be up here a little bit. Number 1979 will be up there. The original album might be up there. We shall find out. But speaking of bands that, like you said, about kind of seeming like they come out with a little bit of a softer song, but they're really heavy, which is the story with a lot of glam metal bands. Cinderella, number 411 is Cinderella Long Cold Winter.
Yeah, see, that's another band I don't know anything about, but I've heard the same thing, is that like they get popular on these ballady type songs, but the rest of their music is straight up fucking like hard rock, heavy metal shit.
You know one Cinderella song, because I think it was on the Wayne's World soundtrack. I think
I know what you're talking about. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think
could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
But I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't quote me on that. Next up is 410, Primal Fear with Jaws of Death. Of all the Primal Fear albums that I've heard, I really haven't given this one a chance. Nothing really grabbed me until like the third or fourth album of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, they're pretty reliable though. So I can see where one of their earlier albums might be this low on the list, kind of thing.
Yeah. This one, this one's important to me because I think this is their best album overall. Number 409 is Nightwish with Oceanborn.
Oh, okay. Have they been on the list already? Is this their second one on the list, or
I think they already had Wishmaster on there.
Okay. But it's good that like we know that they're going to be on this list, because you know it'll be. The thing is, it won't be anything. It'll be everything with Tarja, like because when was Annette in the band?
Probably just shortly after this book came out.
Yeah, I was gonna say because it was 2004. I think I remember Dark Passion Play was probably like what 2007 or 2008,
something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. It's good. Yeah.
408 is Judas Priest with Priest Live.
Whoa, live album, really?
Yeah. I'm surprised. I want to say I'm surprised about something, but it could happen later. But Unleashed in the East has got to be on here if that's on here.
I was going to say that's the one. Unleashed in the East is the one. So that's
that's got one crazy. Of like, the pivotal cover images. This one's like a two disc set that came out in like 86 around Turbo. So, yeah. Which maybe that was part of the reason why you got to hear a live version of Turbo Lover and it sucked less. I actually like that song.
I think I remember when I got the complete collection of Judas Priest records that I actually really did enjoy Turbo.
I'm listening to it
in like, you know, in the 2000s, but the people who listen to like in the 1980s are probably like, this is garbage. And I'm like, I have a little bit of hindsight in my advantage, you know? So,
I got you. Here's one that's probably going to appear a few more times. Number 407 is Death, the Sound of Perseverance.
Oh, I love that record.
That was their last record, too.
Yeah. I love that one. But yeah, that's cool. Hell yeah. They're definitely gonna, if Sound of Perseverance is this low, they're definitely going to be up here a couple more times.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 406 is Warlock, Triumph and Agony. Warlock.
Oh, Doro.
Yeah, I was going to say Warlock is the band with their singer was Doro, where she got her start. And this, when people mention Warlock, this is the go-to album. So
there you go. Sweet.
Yeah. Being a go-to albums, but don't belong on here, though. Number 405 is Sex Pistols. Never mind the bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols. Doesn't belong on here.
We know it's going to be the only time they're on here, so that's it. They're done.
Thank God, because they don't belong on here at all.
I mean, again, I think we've talked about this when we first started talking about this particular list, is that like there's going to be stuff on here that's like it's going to be hard rock, it's going to be heavy metal, it's going to be stuff that influenced hard rock and heavy metal, and I think the Sex Pistols definitely have had influence on other bands. So I see why it's on the list.
And that perfectly
and I like
up,
and I like the record.
I have the record too. So but that perfectly sets up our 404, which is Cream, Disraeli Gears.
Oh my God. So again, a band that probably should not be on a heavy metal thing, but what a fucking record. What a fucking record. Influential as shit. Fucking White Room, get out of here.
Yeah, that like with the book I've read, I've written by this same author actually. A lot of the initial chapter or two talks about those influencers, those ones that you wouldn't think to, but they were, and here's why.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and Cream, of course, gets mentioned. You know, Hendrix gets mentioned and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So. Next up, number 403 is Opeth, Morning Rise.
Okay, hell yeah, very early stuff. Like very much in their death metal vibe. I think their early stuff is like, I mean, I love them, but I really like it was pretty much for me personally. Like I know Blackwater Park is considered their benchmark, their fucking standard, but for me it was Deliverance and Onward for like as far as songwriting sound, and then of course once they got into like super heavy prog shit, oh my God. Yeah. So, but again, this is one of the early ones. I'm glad it's on the list. I'm glad it's relatively low. I'm excited to see where their other stuff ends up. So that's gonna be cool.
Yeah, with them, I feel like they started to hit a new stride with My Arms, because that is a real EP, and then just from there, their stuff just started to evolve and get better. So, let's see. Number 40, band I'm trying to get more into, My Dying Bride, The Angel in the Dark River.
Again, I've probably listened to some of their stuff, but I'm not 100% familiar with it, so you might have a little bit more to offer here.
Not just yet. One day. But our last one is going to be a good one, though. And that's number 401, Rainbow on Stage.
That's live, I'm assuming.
That is very much live. And the reason that live albums from Rainbow are so cool is because they were very much like medley shit. Like they would do like half hour medleys jumping from song to song, and it would be interesting as fuck.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Like I think I have a live set from them playing in Germany in 1977. It's seven songs because they're all medley.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's crazy. But this one apparently in particular is really good. I think, I don't know if I have it because I usually don't go for live albums, but this may have been an exception because it's Rainbow and it was with Dio. So, but I will have to look into it. But anyway, there we go. We are at.
Oh my gosh.
We're at 400 now.
Look, everything Everything is a fucking medley, and there's only six songs on this thing. It's an hour and 4 minutes long.
Yep. They know how to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure a lot of that is Ritchie Blackmore just wailing away. So. Yeah, but that is where we stop for today. We will pick up at number 400 the next time, and hopefully I'll get into more familiar territory with some of these things. So, anything you want to add or contribute?
No, that was a pretty solid list right there. Again, I'm glad that some of the earlier stuff from some of these bands were on there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the Tool album was Lateralis at this low, and I'm hoping that like their other stuff like Undertow and Anima gets a little bit higher. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing where they land. I'm looking forward to see what other Opeth records are on the list and where they land. So it's starting to get interesting. It's starting to get very interesting as we get into as we finish up the first 100 and get into the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's looking pretty good. So
yeah. Solid.
Yeah. All right. So on that note, we must make our curtain call because Warrior, I don't know if you need food. It's 10 o'clock at night. Do you need food?
I can. I always need food, buddy. Come on.
Okay. Well, there you go. And Wizard, he's going to, I don't know what the fuck he's going to do. But either way, until next time, I am Dan Mack.
And I am Chris Mack.
And we are the Slack.